Welcome back to the Boys Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Schaefer, back again with Brian Henn. Brian, it's great to see you.
It is so great to be back. I really missed this last week. It didn't really work out for the two of us, and I life gets in the way, but I felt bad that we didn't give the boys a pod.
I know, Brian, you're truly in the throes of being a regular podcast host at this point when you're just like, well, it was actually me this time. You were available more so than I was. And I was just like, we couldn't find the scheduling because when you were available, I was not. And then I was just exhausted. It happens. So I'm sorry, guys. Taking a week off. We've been on a pretty good run. I think we did 3 weeks in a row, which is more than this podcast has seen in years, maybe at this point.
Yeah, this is the type of consistency that our viewers clamor for, yet we never deliver.
Yes, and to be fair to Sloan, Brian and I were just talking about it before the podcast, but Sloan was texting us on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think, of this last weekend to do a podcast. Unfortunately, neither of us were available literally the entire weekend. It was nothing against you, Sloan. We both feel bad, but Sloan, you can see he's still getting some appetite for the podcast game.
I love it. I do want to personally apologize to Sloan. I literally any other weekend would have been so ready to hop on, but we had our 10-year high school reunion this week, which was crazy. I had to go down to Seymour on Saturday to work. I was getting together with my mom's sister. It was a very busy weekend.
Brian, let's talk about the 10-year reunion. What was
I would love to. I have a lot to share.
I am a lover of the idea of going back to my high school for a reunion. I would love to do that, but for bad reasons, right? Like, I have bad intentions to go back there. Purely, you know, it would be good to see some people, but, you know I shouldn't go back. I need to mature more before I would do that. Obviously, you're a much more mature man than I. What was your experience back at the high school reunion like?
So I was a student council member when I was a senior in high school. And so I was actually tasked with planning it. So I've been working on this with the other officers for the last probably, I think we started in April. So we've been planning this for about 6 months now. And let me just tell you, the whole setup of having to plan high school reunions is really messed up. Because at least for us, our school does not have any kind of fund or money available for these. Like, it is just 100% on the class to raise the money, plan it, book the location, and host it and everything. So I'm sure we could have, like, I'm sure the high school would have allowed us to just host it there, but we thought that was kind of boring. So we decided to host it at, like, a local, like, a mini golf place, but it's, you know, has, like, a nice bar and stuff, too. So anyway, so we had to, like, create a Venmo account, create a bank account, like, send out all this, like, stuff on an old Facebook group we had. Like, I was messaging people personally on Instagram about it, which that was really entertaining to just I was like the treasurer, I guess you would call it. So I was like collecting Venmos from people, but it's an awkward thing because like we had a class of 450 people, so we didn't know if we were going to get 200 people to come or 10. So we were like, but of course, you know, you can't just say, hey, high school reunion on October 6th or whatever it was, and, you know, Venmo is $35 and we don't know where it's going to be yet or what's going to be provided or, you know, any of the details. So like we had to work with this place and pretty much like hold the date, but tell them, hey, we might have to cancel last minute if we don't get enough money. And then over the course of, you know, a couple months, like try and collect Venmos from people and get a gauge about whether or not we're going to get to the, you know, it was a little over $2,000. Like if we were going to raise enough money to be able to host it at this place, but we'd been telling everybody we were going to do it there because that was our plan. But then if we hadn't got enough money, we were going to have to pivot to a new place. So it was very, a crazy experience, but it was a ton of fun. We went to the homecoming football game on Friday night, which other than our senior year, when Matt and, you know, the other, the rest of the team made it to the state championship game. Like leading up to that, our high school football team was terrible. Mm. Now they're number two in the state and they're like a powerhouse in Indiana. Like they totally redid the weight room. And Josh, I kid you not, the weight room at Westfield High School is nicer than Purdue's.
Really? Purdue has a decent weight
Yes.
room, right?
Oh
Like, it's
yeah,
nice.
totally. Annie and I were joking because in the weight room it said on the wall, "Champions live here." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, the champions clearly moved in after you and I graduated." Because champions did not live here when we went to high school here. But anyway, they literally even have like the little I don't know how to say this, like the box, the glass walls where they put the mannequins with the jerseys and stuff. So they have like a mannequin for every jersey that they wear, like on display and stuff. It's
Wow.
crazy. Anyway, went to the game, had a reunion Saturday. It was a blast. I honestly, my big takeaway from it was like, it was so refreshing to just see that like all these people from high school had like become their own person.
Oh.
Like they'd outgrown who they were in high school. Like that was not, they weren't tied to that anymore. Like, and it was so cool. Like the, you know, the popular kids and the jocks and stuff, like it felt like they've realized that that really wasn't all that important and that there's a lot more to life than being popular in high school. And like the nerdy kids, you know, that, you know, didn't have as many friends, like they found their niche and they're like, they realized it's kind of cool to be nerdy and weird and like, you know, that you can do a lot of stuff being nerdy and weird. So I don't know. It was really awesome to just see kind of what people have become.
Wow, that is such a sweet takeaway, Brian. So
Yeah.
you were feeling just like, just encouraged by seeing all these people
Totally.
grow.
Totally. And like, I was proud of myself and the other officers for what we put together. Everybody seemed to have a really good time. And yeah, Matt came. So Matt and I got to, you know,
Oh, fun.
walk around, talk to people together and stuff. So it was a really good time.
Did people remember you as like the duo from high school still being together? Like, did that reputation reign
Yeah.
true? Okay.
Yeah. Somebody had told Annie, because obviously she was there too. Like somebody told Annie that they remembered Matt and I looking a lot more alike in high school than we do now, which is fair. But
That's
yeah, so
funny.
that was pretty funny. Yeah, just saw a whole cast of characters, you know, lots of people from all over the spectrum.
And I would imagine if you're showing up to the high school reunion, probably things are going pretty decently for you. Like, you're
Yeah.
not gonna show up if it's like, oh fuck, like things are
Yeah.
really bad. So those are the fun people to see, because you do like, you want people to turn out okay, like even
Yeah.
I do too, right? Like, you don't want people to be like, have horrible lives, unless they were really shitty, which, and you probably even work past that at this point.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to see people thriving.
Yeah. Oh, I'll Annie and I totally went to show off, and like
Yeah, you guys are killing it.
it
It's
was definitely
like,
like, oh yeah, just yeah, life is great. What are you talking about?
We're
So
living over, we got a house over in
I know.
Lawrence. Was anyone
Dog, we're
surprised that you guys
traveling.
were married or?
No, I don't think so. It
Okay.
was funny. Annie's ex-boyfriend was there, who was like, he and I were close friends for a while, so that provided some intrigue as well.
Was it
I'll
awkward?
speak more on that offline, but
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
no, I would not say awkward, not that bad. So, but it was just really entertaining. We hadn't seen him in like 10 years, so that was interesting.
And he knows that you got the girl, right? Like, he's
He
well
does.
aware of this. Okay,
He and I were,
sick.
yes. His mom and Annie's mom are close friends, so we're confident that word has traveled. But who knows? Maybe he's a loyal listener to the pod. So yeah, but he is aware. So that was entertaining. And yeah, just I don't know, it was cool to see what everybody's done with the last 10 years. Would you go to your 10-year high school reunion?
I would go if I was in town. I would
Sure.
not go if I was like in Seattle and they were like, high school reunion, XYZ date. I would probably not go. I mean, the thing is, I see the people from my high school that I want to see. Obviously, Dill, Colin, Emma.
Oh,
And those.
you actually want to see Colin? You don't just.
I
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
just want to keep tabs on him,
Yeah.
just to make sure. But yeah, so I see the people that I want to see, and unfortunately I'm not on social media anymore, so I can't really stalk people. Like, I don't know what people are up to, so it'd be fun to at least do a little bit of that, to be like, I don't know, it's always fun. Like, sometimes when I'm hanging out with Colin and Emma, I'll be like, so what any people from our high school are up to, like, just to get a little
Totally.
sneak peek into their lives, because we had different social circles in high school. We were Colin and Emma and I were not friends at all. Or we were like friendly, but not like close. And
Sure.
so it's fun to check in on like the people that they knew and what they're up to and stuff.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Because I think I'm a very different person from who I was in high school. Like at
You're a
this
very
point,
different person from who you were in college, let
I think
alone.
that's true. I think I
Yeah.
am quite a different person from
I'll be
college.
honest, Matt and I were not very big fans of you like freshman, sophomore year when we would play basketball at the co-rec just because you were so competitive and you were good enough that like you had a right to be, but it was just like we knew who you were. And then it was just funny as we started hanging out. We're like, oh, he's actually chill. But it was, there was a time period where we knew who you were and we were not big fans.
I think if you were playing basketball with me at this point, you would still like me because you know me better, but I don't think you would be like that part of you has changed a material amount. I talk about that because I still play a lot of basketball. And I think my friends who know me only from playing basketball, because I have like a group of friends who I only play basketball with, and that is pretty much all I do with them, have a very different perspective of who I am as a person than like the rest of my friend groups. It is just an outlet for me to like be ultra competitive and, whatever. A good
Totally.
example of this is I play in the Microsoft Hoops League for the Summer League. And this year, back-to-back champions, by the way.
Of course, yes. How could we forget?
It's the B League, so but we had another guy join our team whose name is also Josh, and I was out for most of the year because I was doing all my Rainier training, so I just kind of showed up for the last few games of the playoffs, and they were like, "Oh, we need to distinguish between you two to like know who is who." And one of the guys in the chat was like, "Oh yeah, we have, Sweetheart Josh and we have F-bomb Josh, like these are the two guys." And I'm sure you can figure out which one I was in
Yeah.
that group, but I would say my basketball personality, I'm probably a little bit tamer than I was in college, but I can get a little heated, It's my
I
only
love it.
outlet. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good place. It's a good outlet to have. There are much worse outlets for that, so.
Yeah, and it's like I only like it's so weird. Like you'll see comedy sketches of stuff of like when guys play basketball with people, they like only know the first names. Like, and even that takes a really long time. Like, it is so true to life of I play basketball every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m., 2 hours. I literally only know the first names of these guys. There's literally only two dudes who I probably know more than like what their name is and maybe where they work. Like, it is a very transactional relationship of we're just there
Of
to play
course.
basketball with each other. So.
Yeah. I loved at the co-rec at Purdue the way that you could just walk in and like just kind of like give a little head nod to like some other people that were waiting, and that was like enough to make it clear that the five of you were the next team on the court. Like you
Yes.
didn't have to introduce yourself, you didn't have to say hi, you just had to, like give a little hand motion or
You got
something.
five.
Yeah, okay, cool. We're up. Yep. And then the whole game, you didn't have to know their name. You didn't have to know anything about them. Just
No.
yeah. And then probably never saw each other again. Walked off
Yeah.
on
I
it.
don't blame you for not liking college basketball meet. To be honest, I don't love basketball meet. Like I'll be talking about like, man, I don't love what I'll be like reflecting. I don't love what I did when I was playing basketball that last time. But you live and you grow.
Yeah.
So it is what it
It's.
is.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I
That's funny
do.
though that you guys felt
Oh,
that
yeah. Yeah. Matt will have to tell you his perspective too. But it was, that's what I
Yeah,
remember
I'm sure
about it.
yours is like the nice version of
Oh,
it,
yeah, it is.
like yeah.
Matt, I'll tell you what it was really like.
Yeah, Matt was like, man, fuck Josh. He sucks. Yeah, that's funny.
No, but now we've grown to know you. So
Yeah.
it's so much better. And I'm grateful
Yeah.
for it. I do, before we get into any football stuff, I do want to give a special shout out to Andrew. The newest
Boy.
baby boy, I guess. Yeah.
Baby
The
boy.
mini boy, I don't know what to call him.
Yeah.
But they're popping up all over the place now. We're I think the boys have a nice little coordinated effort of building a long-term bench for this league to eventually have fill-ins. And for the group writ large. Maybe one day it'll be Boys Weekend plus the Suns
Yes.
joining. So,
Or we could get them to start like a fantasy football league, like they could do
yes.
like a little four-man league, like just something intro, like for when,
Yeah.
there's four of them, right? Because Tommy's Matt, Mike and Sloan will have. Is Sloan having a boy or a girl? I guess no one knows.
I don't know.
We
Yeah.
can do girls in the fantasy football league. I'm
Yeah,
open to it.
totally.
Yeah. So we could get them in a little four man, maybe when they're five or something like
Yeah.
that.
Build them
Like
up.
they could have the longest running dynasty league, you know,
Yeah.
like a yeah, okay. I
It
could see
doesn't get
it.
better than that. So, Mike, congrats. Meredith, congrats. Happy for you guys.
Have you been
But
checking in with Mike, Brian? How's he doing?
not much. I texted him originally when he first let us know about Andrew being born, and then I think I text him, congratulations, blah, blah. He says, thanks so much, exciting times. Next text, I'll give you Pierre Strong, Greg Dortch, AJ Barter, Noah Fant, or anyone on my taxi squad for Fab. So right back to it. But yeah, so conversed a little bit about that, and then he brought up the point about how Andrew is somebody that has never heard any of his jokes before, so that he so he's excited to get to try them out on a fresh audience again, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he's probably not the most receptive audience at this point, but Mike can coach him up to that, I bet.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So
Yeah.
I do want to clarify, even though I'm excited for Mike, I still want him to lose in fantasy football. That has not changed.
Oh, good, good, good. Me too. I think I was thinking about it, you know, because we haven't been doing it in a couple weeks. And I feel like I need to have a segment in each episode, which is like a Mike's corner, where I just say, you know, something about Mike's team, you know? Like it's
Yeah.
just a place for me to just like give him a little bit of feedback on how he can improve as a manager.
Just to be clear, is this because you don't think that you do that enough already, or where does that come from?
I just think we need to label it. Like it's
Does
obviously happening, and I think it needs to be a segment, you know, like
this
that.
does that mean then that you wouldn't do it at any other point if we give you a segment?
I think I would be more inclined to keep it to the segment, you know,
Okay.
like I just need a space for it.
Yeah.
And I think in the group me sometimes people read over it or they skip it when I say it, you know.
Yeah.
And if they skip it in the podcast or whatever, but I know that Mike will listen, because whenever that's the number one thing is I know if I say it, if there's gonna be at least one person who reads it, and it's gonna
Oh
be
yeah.
Mike for sure. He's
Yep.
the only
Yep.
one.
It's a good time. It's a good time. So,
Do you think
shall
we should
we?
start there? Maybe
Yeah.
you
Why
know.
not?
Okay, this is my mic gripe over the last 2 weeks, and just some feedback. Andrew, maybe you can skip through this part of the podcast if you're listening, Mike, if you don't want your son to hear this. What is Marvin Harrison Jr. doing on your taxi squad? Right? There's some serious player. You started Cam Akers 2 weeks ago over Marvin Harrison Jr., Mike. If you miss the playoffs, I think you can look back and say Marvin Harrison Jr. should have been in the starting lineup for most of the year. And especially now that Nico Collins is on IR, honestly inexcusable to continue to keep him there. So that's my gripe with Mike. Brian, what are your thoughts on that?
That I think it's reasonable. I honestly did not realize he was still on his taxi squad. That does surprise me a little bit, especially, I mean, early in the year, I get it. Like, you know, you want to see what he's like, you know, see what, you know, see what he brings to the table. But nowadays, I mean, now, like, he's clearly a top 15 to 20 fantasy wide receiver. So I think you could start him every week at this point. Like, almost irregardless of who's injured or who's on bye or anything like that, he should be wide receiver two the rest of the season.
Last week he started Diontae Johnson over Marvin Harrison Jr. And the week before that he started Cam Akers over Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe he is scared to drop anyone on his taxi squad or on his like regular roster and doesn't want to lose the spot. I mean, most of his roster is, I mean, basically his whole roster is probably keepable at this point. So I would imagine it's something related to that. And things are working out well, but I'm just saying, if you miss the playoffs, this is a very bold strategy to keep going. So
Yeah.
that's my mic gripe of the week.
That's fair. I will acknowledge that I think Dare Ogunbowale is probably the only one that I think is truly droppable. So that's reasonable.
Oh, for
But
sure. Or Ty Johnson too. I didn't realize Ty Johnson was on the team too. Both those guys can go.
yeah. So there's yeah, Ty Johnson definitely can actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, drop Ty Johnson
Yeah.
and start Marvin Harrison Jr. I guess for me, I'm like Mike's clearly in this. I think there's no reason you shouldn't have MHJ starting. Lock that shit in. Okay. That's a great first Mike's corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, we'll work on the naming, but yeah.
Now to put you on the hot seat a little bit. I may be wrong about this, but did you set your lineup last week?
Yeah, I did. Tommy texted me that there was something about Jalen Hurts being in my starting
Yes.
lineup. But no, if you when I click on it, I don't know if you can see it, but I see Jacoby Brissett as my starting QB.
Okay.
And
Is
honestly, maybe Jalen Hurts would have still been the play, but Jacoby did put up positive points, so.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, okay. Now when I look at it, I do see Jacoby Brissett. All weekend though, it said Jalen Hurts for me. So I can
Yes.
second what Tommy saw.
Tommy texted me asking if I was okay because he figured if I didn't set my lineup, that something might have been wrong, like that I might
That
not have been okay.
warms my heart. I love that.
Like this man will not respond to any of my texts about fantasy
No.
football, but he just checks in on me and because he saw
What
Jalen Hurts in the lineup.
a great friend.
I know, I know.
Yeah,
And it's a
shout out to
good,
Tommy.
it is. It didn't matter though. I still finished last this week, which is a great transition away from Mike's corner into the last 2 weeks of table results. Killer week for you, Brian. 10 points, firmly in the playoffs at this point. Obviously, a lot went on over the last 2 weeks since we chatted. There's been quite a mix-up. How are you feeling about the playoff picture at this point in time?
I am on top of the world, I'll be honest with you. This is probably my shining moment in
Your
this
team is
dynasty league so
insane.
far.
It has got
My
the
team is
everything is
better than
looking up.
yours right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
Let's we can
it
slow
feels
down with
really
that one,
good.
but I'll let you have your moment in the light. So,
Thank you. Thank you.
yeah.
These last 2 weeks were huge for me, and here's why. I told Matt 2 weeks ago when he and I were talking, I was like, I need to just avoid being a bottom three finisher these next 2 weeks. Like I was without both my Eagles receivers, going through this. I was w without Malik Nabers in week five. I was like, I just have to avoid bottoming out because I know once I get through, the two Eagles receivers being injured and then their bye week, I was like, week six on, I will hopefully, knock on wood, have them for the rest of the season. Hopefully they'll stay healthy. I'll be able to roll. And to come out when I was just praying for, 3 points or more pretty much every week, and to get an 8 and a 10 was more than I ever could have asked for. And then on top of that, like, I've had excellent performances from guys like Chuba Hubbard, Jayden Reed, I'm like enamored with. Rashid Shaheed is finally showing the rest of the league why you guys were silly to not trade for him when you could have. It's just in. God, Malik Nabers. I told Mike and I were joking about, I forget what it was. Mike was offering some kind of just fake trade for Malik Nabers. Like, it wasn't a serious offer. He was just kind of teasing me and stuff. And I told
Yeah.
him that I'm not sure I would do it for four firsts at this point. I think I would
Really?
rather just like enjoy the Malik Nabers
Neighbors.
ride. Even if he ends up being not that great. It's too much fun. So I got some bad news today with Michael Pittman probably going on IR. He's probably out for a little while, but I think he's probably been performing over his head the last 2 weeks anyway. So it's a good excuse to not even have to consider starting him. So
I think it's a blessing, yeah,
yeah.
because he's like borderline startable, especially
Yeah.
if Anthony Richardson is playing, like maybe not even startable. It's a Flacco
Totally.
only
He
scenario.
yeah. With my Eagles receivers coming back this week, he hopefully Shaheed was going to be the first one to hit the bench, and he was the second one. So it was going to happen regardless, but now it just locks it in.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for my 2 minutes in the limelight. Outside of me, honestly shocked by your team's performance this last week. Like, that was about as it, they lived up to their name of trash ass team last week. That was a really rough performance, but other than that, I mean, just Tommy continuing to just chug along. Like, the model of consistency, everything he touches turns to gold. I will say that, like, I think we are shaping up for a hell of a playoff race for those probably third and fourth spots. Like I think you and Tommy are probably in. I think I've probably performed a little above my head. So I expect to come back to the pack a little bit. But like me, Mike, Dylan, Austin, and who knows, maybe even like a Matt or an Angad or a Sloan or something. Maybe somebody else joins that group. Who knows? That will be a ton of fun, I
It
think,
will
for
be
the
fun. Yeah.
next 10 weeks. So what is in thank God Colin finally didn't finish in last. The
I
guy
know.
deserved a break.
I mean, he almost did though. He was like projected for last up until like the Monday night game. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So good on him. Anyway, give me your rundown. What do you think?
Yeah, like you said, huge week for you. Getting 160 in beating out, edging out Tommy at the end. You've had some heartbreakers, obviously, the last couple weeks in terms of being a couple points out of
Yep.
getting that top spot. And now you know how good it feels when you edge out the team by a point or two. It's the best thing about the table. When you look at
So
it, you're
sweet.
like, oh, you 0.5, like I've got that extra table point. Or when your guy gets a touchdown, you move up like two spots. Ugh. Chef's kiss, delicious.
Yep.
Big, huge week for you. I keep going back to Austin's message to the group of that the Trojans are inevitable. And it just does feel that way. I think we might be in store for a four-peat. It just everything, it just is so good. And I have a lot of overlap. I think my team in our Reddit league is like a combination of Tommy's team in our league and my team in this league, but it's like the
Yeah.
best parts of those teams. And I just want it to be in the boys' league so bad because that team on the Reddit league is just like ugh, so good. But it's not. Obviously, I had a horrible week. It was a confluence, I think is the right word to use, of events that were horrible. Two players injured in the middle of a game, Aaron Jones and Zach Moss, both out before the end of the game. Zero non-QB touchdowns. Jalen Hurts on bye. I have Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp both out right now, injured. 101 points, I think, is actually fairly respectable considering all of those things. But obviously, getting last place is not good. I am getting to the point where I'm not even watching football on Sundays. I am trying to stay away from my phone because it is toxic to me, I think, to be around it. And I'm not saying I want to quit the league. I definitely don't, but
You're scaring me with that, but
I
okay.
don't want to quit, but it is just like on Sunday, I went for a hike from 10 to 3, like, and I had no cell reception. So I just like got in my car at 3 and I was like, this is whatever it is what it is. Like wherever my team
Yeah.
has finished, so be it. And I think that's how I honestly am going to continue to approach this is I love fantasy football more than regular football. Like I am a fan of fantasy football. And so I know I've spent some time on my team, but it's our podcast. We can talk about our
Yeah,
teams, Brian.
totally.
It will get better from this. I think this is like an extraordinary combination of bad things to happen to my team this week. So yeah, 1 point hurts. I think I can afford it at this point, but we can't consistently continue to deliver that. And there are some overperformances from some of the bottom teams. I think the biggest trend for me continues to be Sloan. 3-3-3-6-3, his table points for through the first 5 weeks of the season. So 4 out of the 5 weeks he's finished third from the bottom. I think he almost needs to give up on the year, honestly, and go full rebuild if I'm him. Guys like McCaffrey, Tyreek, Mark Andrews, even at this point. I don't even know what you can get for Mark Andrews if you're trying
Oh
to trade
boy.
him. Oh my
Yeah.
God, compared to what he paid for him last year.
I know.
Ultimate sell high by Matt at that point. But yeah, this is a. You know, this is when you pay the price for the boom boys, especially the older boom boys. The chickens have come to roost. So Sloan's probably feeling a little bit scared. Ongood is feeling great. I know he got 2 points this week, but overall things are trending up really well for him. Same goes for Matt. David Montgomery continue to fill the spots. And Matt has somehow, I think he's in the midst of executing the perfect tank, which is to be bad but relevant enough. And if you
Yep.
look at his draft capital over the next 2 years, it's kind of insane, like how many
Yeah.
first round and second round picks he has. So Matt does a nice little trade for Wandale. We'll maybe talk about that later. I think it's a good
Yep.
asset for him to pick up. But overall, I think the table's been, you know, over the last 2 weeks, pretty good. No huge surprises. Things have been relatively consistent. I love that the playoff picture is actually intense this year. Dylan's team looks the most average that it has looked in the first 4 years of the league. I think there were many moments where we were all like, I would give up everything to have Dylan's team.
Yep.
And now I think you're kind of like, Justin Jefferson, but the running back situation is, it's just a disaster. You cannot trust a single running back at this point.
I
It
know.
is terrifying. Like, you had a great week last week. Breece Hall puts up 5 points, like your worst
Yep.
player. It's
I'm telling
crazy.
you, running backs are the worst. I've been on this, on this for a long time, but we won't get into that. But I agree about your point about Dylan's team. Like every player, there are so many players on his team where two years ago even, you were like, wow, this is a wonderful dynasty asset. And now you run down and it's just like, man, you just can poke holes in so many players that on his team. And it's tough. I'm sure it's very difficult for Dylan because none of them are Mark Andrews or like, a player that has just plummeted so quickly that you don't need to start them most weeks. Like a lot of his players, any given week can be great, but their upside just feels so capped compared to what it was a couple years ago. It's like, I mean, now all of us, for example, he starts Deshaun Watson last week. Like Deshaun Watson is a quarterback, 5 years ago you would have loved to have had, even 2 years ago you probably would
2 years
have
ago,
loved to have
yes, you
had.
would have been like, you could have gotten two firsts and a second
Yeah.
for him. Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't know what Dylan could trade him for at this point. Travis Etienne seems to be, being overtaken by Bigsby as we speak. Amari Cooper is a part of that terrible Browns offense. DeAndre Swift is hot and cold. 1 week he's great, the next week he's terrible. Debo Samuel did a classic Debo Samuel move where he goes from, being a great contributor, three of the first 4 weeks of the year, and then is just completely a complete ghost in their offense, out of the blue. So I'm sure it's very difficult for him week to week, and he's got, he had Kirk Cousins on the bench, put up 34. He had freaking Joe Flacco on the bench, put up 26. Tank Bigsby puts up 24. Christian Kirk, 10. He has some other options, but it has to be so hard week to week to choose who he's playing.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot of mid players outside of Justin Jefferson and Brock Bowers, to his credit, looking like a killer first round pick from last year so far. If things hold up, he could be the next actually valuable dynasty asset. There's probably very few fantasy teams in the world who are benching Sam Laporta on a weekly basis at this point. So, kudos to Dill. He is like tight end university, honestly, when it comes
Seriously.
to fantasy football. But yeah, it's I don't know what he's gonna do, because I think he probably needs to make some moves to push to get in this year, because I see a world in which his team kind of becomes this middling team, not enough assets to ever really make a playoff run. He probably A lot of the trades that I think Dylan has made in the past have been brought to him by other people. It's probably his opportunity to kind of seek out some more things at this point to help better his team.
Yeah, I think so too. I like too the going back to the comment you made about Sloan's team. I'm gonna be really curious to see what he does, and we can kind of get into, we're gonna discuss some trade deadline stuff tonight, but I'm gonna be curious how aggressive Sloan is on either end. I can honestly see Sloan going either way. Like I could see him pulling some moves in the next couple of weeks to try and, vault himself up into contention for the playoffs, or I could see him, going total fire sale, trying his hand at a rebuild and seeing what he can get for players. I think he's in a precarious spot where if he left his roster completely alone, he could probably be a playoff team again next year if things broke right and he got a healthy CMC back and got a health, Tyreek has a valuable quarterback again, and Brandon Ayuk decides to get back to being a good player. There's potential there. I'm not saying it's likely, but there's potential. But at the same time, you could also see a year from now where the value for all these players plummets as well. So it's a tough call. I'm gonna be curious to see what he does.
Yeah, he's got to be kicking himself for that Joe Mixon trade to start the season out. It looks like a trade to kind of secure his roster for playoff competition, but now he's starting Juwan Jennings, Trey Sermon, Cade Otton, and Mark Andrews. That is a scary, those are four scary people to be starting for any team, let alone a team that had, championship ambition heading into the season.
Totally. Are there, just out of curiosity, is there anybody, let's say Matt Ongut, Sloan Collin, what percentage chance do you give that at least one of those teams makes the playoffs?
Matt Ongut, Sloan Collin, I'm going to say like
Yep. So
a
spots 7 through 10.
5% chance that one of those teams makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe even lower than that. I might even say I am like less than 1%. It would take some legitimate miracles. Dylan's team is still good, right? And I would say you're taking
Yeah.
Dylan's roster, active starting roster, over Matt's 10 times out of 10. I think this is an interesting point, though, for Matt to consider. And that he could make the playoffs this year if he wanted to trade some assets. And that is the tipping point of fantasy football is, and honestly, the ultimate temptation of dynasty, and that you want to build like a team that looks like Mike's right now, where you have five receivers under the age of 25 who are all, top five di or top 20 dynasty assets at the position. You want to build this perfect roster. But do you just try and make the playoffs, sneak in there, and then hope you have three crazy good weeks and then you win a championship? If anybody could do it, I think it's Matt. I don't think any of the other three teams have the assets to actually make a push to improve their teams enough. But even Matt, I think 5% would be pretty generous. And I don't think he wants to sell the house at this point with all the picks that he has.
Yeah,
What do you think?
definitely. I agree. I think I the number that was in my head was about 2%. I also jumping up one more spot in the table to Austin's team. If you're Austin, how scared are you by the Jonathan Taylor injury bug popping up again and the Rashee Rice injury?
He's a bad team that has been good because Saquon and Jonathan Taylor have just gone absolutely crazy this year. Like, both of them have had awesome starts to the year. Like you said, to the Jonathan Taylor injury, Saquon, I think, is still the RB3 and he has a bye week already. If I'm Austin and I'm starting guys like DeMario Douglas, Tyjae Spears, and Jakobi Meyers, I'm a little nervous, and I think the fact that we're even considering him as a potential playoff team is best case scenario for him this season. I think his team is pretty mid, and holding on to Saquon and Jonathan Taylor, I don't think it's a risky play for sure, in my opinion, because those guys could lose value if, torn ACL, torn Achilles, like. If you try to sell them, you're losing like maybe a first and a second of value from them if either of them get injured like that, especially at the age that they're at. So, and I think to that point too, and this is maybe another conversation, how are you thinking about buying running backs at this point? I feel like it's a terrifying proposition to pay any kind of amount for a running back at this point.
I know. I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Like I feel like every running back trade I have made in this league, every significant one, I should say. I will have one exception that I'll hit on, but every significant running back trade I've made in this league has been a complete and utter flop. And it's just, I think it speaks to the nature of the position. It's so fluid and it's so week to week and so injury dependent that it's a really hard one to rely on. Like the Breece Hall has been terrible these last 2 weeks, and the Jets seem more interested in giving the ball to Braylon Allen than they do to Hall. And he's one that, like, if coming into the season you had told me that, he was going to be getting, between what, 3 and 6 points, multiple weeks in a row, I would have never believed it, other than him being injured. And now it's like he just seems to almost be getting slowly phased into a split backfield. And yeah, so to me, trading for running backs is really risky. And I obviously regret my Rashad White trade from earlier this season. I think imagine where my team could be with just that
I was thinking
with
about
Brian
that the other
Robinson.
day. That's crazy, man.
Like
And Khalil
insane.
Shakir, like, what
And
a
Khalil
nice little
Shakir.
asset to have. Yeah.
I know. And then, to me, the only running back trade that I've had that's really helped is this Chuba Hubbard deal. And if just as a reminder, I got Chuba Hubbard in a second for Taylor Heinicke in a fourth. And it's like the only running back trade I've ever made that's been helpful. And let's keep in mind, Chuba Hubbard's probably not a good asset for more than what, maybe 2 more weeks as Jonathan Brooks starts to get incorporated into that offense. So I agree. I think the running back position has never been scarier to trade for than it is right now.
Yeah, it is a time to trade for, like, trading for elite running backs. Even a guy like James Cook, who when Mike made that deal, he goes off to score, 40 points, I think, the next week on some 3-touchdown game. You're just like, the lack of longevity, it's a rich man's position to trade for at this point. You have to have an excess of assets to be willing to take the risk on short-term production. I would say trading for any running back over the age of 26 is like trading for a 30-year-old plus elite wide receiver, because
Yeah.
it takes one
What
thing and then boom, they're nothing.
you brought up Austin kind of carrying a lot of risk with Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley. Let's kind of consider them one and the same in this conversation. Like, what are you giving in a totally, a fair deal that somebody in the league might accept, but one that you would feel comfortable with?
So there's the what are you giving and what is the player worth? And I think that those two things for a lot of these positions are very different. Like, very few people would give me what Bijan Robinson is actually worth, like objectively in a fantasy
Sure.
setting. So for a player like Jonathan Taylor, I would be willing to do something like, and this would hurt me probably to do this, but like Brian Thomas in a first would be something like I might consider. And I might be like, oh man, why did I do that? Like, I think it would be one of those
Yeah.
trades that you sent over and you would be like, that's a lot. And maybe Brian Thomas in a second is all I would actually be willing to summon myself to do. And that's with a rookie with 5 games under his belt.
Yeah.
Saquon, like, absolute stud, right? Like, if he's healthy this year, he has league winner potential. It's kind of like the Derrick Henry formula, where you would feel bad trading for Derrick Henry, but you would be glad if you had him on your team already. So Saquon, to me, I think he's got to be at least two firsts in terms of what his actual value is, especially mid-season. But I think a 26 first and like a speculative asset, maybe like if I did like a 26 first and JJ McCarthy for Saquon, that would be probably a little painful for me, but Austin would
Yeah.
probably immediately say no to that if I offered it.
And I think he should, but I not that it's an unfair offer or whatever, but I just don't think there's, like, at that point you might as well just write it out, I feel
Yeah,
like.
you might as well. But what is he going to do though? He doesn't have any assets really to like. The only reason he should trade Saquon is if he could get his 25 first back. I think like that is the
Yeah.
reason to make that deal. Like, this is where it comes to the real value of owning your own draft capital and becoming so important, because if you're going to start tanking or being bad, that's only a viable strategy if you have your picks. If you don't have your picks, it's like, what are you doing? Like, what's the point?
You're just helping another team in the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking through, like, while you were answering that, what I would do. And
Yeah, what would you do?
I feel like the trade that comes to mind for me would be Michael Pittman, Chase Brown, and like, I don't know if I could get stretched to a first, maybe a
That
second.
is disgusting. That is a
Yeah.
disgusting offer. Sorry, Brian. I love
No,
you,
I
but.
know, but I just, like, I don't want to deal with, I like, I'm not trying to make an argument that it's a good deal for Austin or anything like that. To
Yeah.
me, it's just like, I don't want to part with, like, a top, one of my top players in a deal for Saquon. Obviously, I don't really have any firsts, but I'd be hard pressed to, like, pay any more than like a first this year or next year or something like that. It's tough, and it's just, I. It sucks because they're obviously worth so much more than that, and Austin, you have every right to demand way more than that. But I just, you're right. It's hard to put together an offer that I feel good about going out.
Yeah, and I don't think either of us would actually send those offers over. I don't think Austin would probably accept them. And so then you're left with teams like Mike, and Mike has the thing that Mike has is the quarterbacks, and Austin needs a quarterback. Do I think that Mike is the kind of fantasy football player at this point to buy a 27-year-old running back? I don't think it aligns with what his strategy has been at this point and what his competitive advantage is. And that's why James Cook was a perfect player for him to get. So kudos to him. You get a 1B running back in terms of the tier list. And you don't have to, and he's still young too. So you get some of, if he does get a crazy injury, you still get to hold that value. But yeah, there's nobody I'm feeling good about trading for. Even a player like Breece Hall, I would be like, two firsts for Breece Hall right now would hurt to offer that. I would be terrified by offering two firsts for Breece Hall.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny because I feel with Breece, I have no reason to deal him right now. Like
No.
I wouldn't be shocked for people to, maybe make an offer or two. But like at this point, I just have to write it out. Like, and it sucks because, then of course you don't want to deal him when he's playing well because
Yes.
he's, a league winner, but you don't want to deal him when he's bad. Because you're not getting what he's worth. So, yeah. Anyway,
Pretty
Austin,
much an untradeable asset at this
yeah.
point. They're these elite
I
running
think all
backs.
good running backs. Yeah, exactly. I think all good
Yeah.
running backs are almost untradeable assets, which sucks because then it makes it where the Rashad Whites, the Brian, Brian Robinsons, the Elijah Mitchells from a couple years ago, like though that tier of running backs all of a sudden becomes. Like you feel like you have, if you're in a pinch at running back, you have to trade for one of those. And then inevitably that trade, depending on what you're giving up, is it's unlikely to look good, a year down the line.
100%. Yeah, you know it's a bad trade right when you make it. It's like when in those deals in the past we used to trade a second for a bye week fill-in quarterback. And I think our league has really gone away from that at this point. It doesn't seem like people do that anymore.
Yeah.
But that was a trade when you made it, you were just like, "Oh man, I do not want to do this right now, but I need this quarterback for this week so I don't lose."
Yeah, definitely. Real quick, I know we've been going on this topic for a while, but I'm curious, with all of this in mind, what does this do to your strategy as a manager when it comes to running backs? Like, does this encourage you to draft running backs? Does it encourage you to just like go crazy on the waiver wire for running backs? What's the thought?
It's tough, Brian, because I don't want to give away my personal strategy
Sure.
entirely as a
Speak generically.
manager. But I will say what there's running backs that will continue to have value, and we've talked about this before. High draft capital running backs continue to have value for years. And you're seeing it with guys like Zeke Elliott, who were relevant for a very long time, many, many years.
Najee Harris.
Najee Harris, who's not good, but continues to be like a viable running back. I mean, I think Bijan and Breece Hall will both kind of fall into this category of players where you're just like, they were drafted so early, the teams feel obligated to continue to play and pay them. Then you find those young guys who continue to stay like studs, which I think is a scarier prospect, like the Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, those are maybe a little bit riskier to continue to bet that they'll be successful. But I think unless you're getting one of those top tier assets at running back, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to spend a lot. And I would only get those top tier assets in the actual rookie draft. I would not go buy running backs at this point. It would be too terrifying to me. Because you look at Sloan with Christian McCaffrey, and obviously it was a great trade for him and it worked out when he had him, but he paid a lot for him. And now, what would you trade for Christian McCaffrey? I mean, it's a fair, I know we're continuing to hammer the point, but honestly, what would you offer for Christian McCaffrey at this point?
As crazy, I don't even know. Oh man.
Like, would you give a
Actually,
first?
I'm
Would
gonna
you give a
slightly
single
alter.
first?
Yeah. I'm gonna slightly alter. I'm gonna use this to pivot on my response to Austin's because I think I think I would offer a package like the one I offered for Austin for CMC, and maybe do like I would do the Pittman Brown thing with a first for Austin's running backs. So it essentially, like, to me, the difference between CMC going forward and the Saquon Jonathan Taylor tier takes a second to a first. So yes, I would offer a first for Austin's running backs. I probably would go for quantity over quality for CMC. What
Yeah. And it's an
about
offer
you?
that you're probably terrified as soon as you make it. You're like, and
I'm like, will I ever get a single point from CMC?
yeah, and you're
Like,
maybe demanding Jordan Mason in that trade too. It's like a trade you would not make without
yeah.
Jordan Mason. Yeah, I don't know. For McCaffrey, I've thought about making offers for him. I struggle with trading for the vets at this point because my team is so old. And that's kind of been my like competitive advantage, I think, is what I've tried to capitalize on, is going after older players when I think a lot of our league has been like, no, I only want guys who are 25. It's hard to double down on that and everything, especially when a guy has not played a single game and has Achilles tendonitis in both of his legs. It just seems you don't want to, that just seems like a bad idea to do that. It was 28 years
Yeah.
old. So to me, if I have said I was offering two firsts for Saquon, I think Saquon has to be worth more than just a single first, more than McCaffrey. He's younger, he's actually playing this year, and he's playing at the top of the league. So I bet McCaffrey alone for me with no Jordan Mason. I mean, JJ McCarthy, maybe. I would not be psyched about that, but I would
Interesting.
do
I can't wait for everybody to just shit talk about
it.
how bad they think these trade offers are. But I am trying to be as honest as I can be.
Yeah, but what would the guys in our group like? I don't think our league, anybody's like reaching out to Austin, like, what do you want for Saquon? You know,
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
it's such a rich trade to make. That's the point that I'm trying to make, is you have to find a team who so firmly believes that if I trade for this player, I'm going to win the championship. And a lot of wide receivers, I think, give you the luxury of like, if I trade for this player, it keeps me competitive for the next like 3 or 4 years because I think this
I
guy will
agree.
continue to play for that long.
Yeah, I agree. I think this has given me an idea for a future podcast topic. We should do what is every team's competitive advantage in the league? Because I think that could be very interesting. So
Yeah.
I already have a couple floating around my head that I'll save for a future pod. But yeah, anyway, good conversation.
Yes, I agree. Okay, I think we started on the table. I think we've gone a lot of different directions. I think, Brian, one of the things we wanted to touch on was just, you know, trade deadline is a certain number of weeks away. I think we voted to extend it out a little bit because it was like week 10 and that was like 4 weeks before playoffs or something. So it might be like week 12 at this point. But any big teams that you think need to be targeting any trades right now, as we, you know, are 5 weeks in the season?
I one team that I am keeping my eye on for another move is Mike's team, and I don't think it's going to be a Saquon, that JT type of trade, but I think he is going to be hunting for another James Cook level deal where I'm not even sure, I'm not sure whether it probably should be another running back, like, just to make it where he's not having to start, a Najee Harris, certain weeks. So that's kind of my first ironic that, we just talked about trading for running backs, and that's the first thing out of my mouth. But still, that type of player, I would expect that he is going to be on the market trying to cash in some of maybe his B tier assets instead of his A tier assets to try and get a leveled up option. I think Matt is totally selling. I hear you on, he probably could make some pushes the opposite direction with all of his assets. I would expect him in. I think if he does buy, it's similar to your Wandale Robinson trade, where he's trading, maybe two picks for a young player that he likes a lot. So I think he's a team that will be very active over the next 4 to 5 weeks, if I had to guess.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see that with Matt. I think he's got some assets to offer that are older. And he's on the path to building the perfect dynasty. I like that pick. Mike has the assets to move, and he has no like old players at this point, really. I don't think Mike has anybody that you would be like, this guy is at risk of being too old. So I don't know, maybe he wants to get a couple vets to, shore up the weaker spots, like you said, with Najee, but he has so much roster flexibility at this point, he could literally do whatever he wanted to. So it's
Yeah,
an enviable
totally.
position. Mike's team is the best team, right? Objectively, like
I think so,
if you
yes.
can pick one roster right now, you're picking Mike's.
Yeah. Who
That
what teams are you keeping your eye on?
I mentioned it a little bit at the onset, but Dill, I think this is a real inflection point for him in terms of how engaged he wants to continue to be in the league. He has some really great assets, and that, I think some of them still hold some value, even though they may have diminished a little bit. And I think for some of these other teams at the bottom who don't necessarily want to be good right now, there's an opportunity for him to cash in there.
Yeah, I think
And
so
I think
too.
he needs to tier up a little bit on some of these assets. Like you mentioned, he has a lot of like mid-tier guys. If you could get into that low-end tier one, with a couple of tier two guys, I think it's worth the push just for a little bit more consistency. Then, like we've been talking about, Sloan and Austin, I think they're going to do something, right? They need to either commit to going in this year or sell. Austin doesn't have his first round pick. Sloan does have his first round pick this year, but doesn't have his 26 or 27 first. And so this is a great year for Sloan to try and be bad and try and retool a little bit, not necessarily get last place. I don't know what would happen if that actually happened to him, but the opportunity for him to be bad and then, like I said, retool. I don't think his team is a total disaster, but he needs more assets right now. His elite assets are not playing well, and his bench is just in total shambles. So those are the teams I'm looking for. What were you going to say, Brian? Go ahead.
Your point on Sloan, if it's difficult to do, but if he could somehow land this plane where he trades away some of his assets right before the deadline for picks, young players, whatever floats his boat, and gets second place this year, where he doesn't have to do Waffle House and stuff, and gets that second overall pick, that could be really big because then you get the benefit of rebuilding. Of trading away some of these assets, and you get the number two overall pick in the draft, and he could take just best player available right there, and lock it in. So, if I were Sloan, I'd definitely be keeping an eye on, drag those trades out to the very last minute, and see if you can't get yourself into second place with while also accumulating more assets.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be. I'm hoping the trades start to heat up a little bit. We obviously had a huge start to the season. It was really hot with the trades that were coming through. And it seems like teams are just trying to find out where they fit in the landscape right now before they make too many deals. It's fun to see our league get smarter. I feel like you hardly ever see a deal anymore these days where you're like, what the fuck is that? And I think we have the managers have. The league has kind of found its level in terms of everyone knowing what they're doing. Now, the actual league in terms of team quality is not at level at this point because we're still paying the penalty for decisions that everyone made, in the first 2 or 3 years of this league. But I think it's very tactical at this point. Everyone is way more patient than they used to be with the moves that they need
So
to
much more
make.
patient.
Yeah, it's not a like I'm going to make this deal right now. I need to go buy the most elite player on a whim. Like a lot of the deals that I've been in conversation, it's not like let's figure this out over the next 3 hours. It's like maybe we're talking for 4 or 5 days and it fizzles out and we revisit. It feels probably much more to what real life would be like if you were doing fantasy trades.
I agree. I think too, it's a I think that is inherently why you're not seeing as much movement, in these middle weeks. Like I think people, like you said, are biding their time, seeing where they fit. I think that's awesome. Good on everybody, kind of, taking, I think we're seeing the repercussions, like you said, of those first couple of trades, and I think people have learned from them, and they want to make sure that they're getting a good deal, and I think that's what makes it, a little less active. So not
Yes.
necessarily a bad thing.
And to the into another testament to add to the value of the table in that it makes the bad teams hold their good players for a little bit longer because you do want to avoid that last place. And so there's more incentive to kind of through a period like this not rush into things.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, Brian, anything else you want to cover tonight?
I don't think so. I think this has been an excellent excellent run through.
Yes, I missed you last week. It's good to be back. I loved our running back conversation. I've been thinking about this. I figured you were in the same state of mind. I don't think I'm to the point where I'm like, get rid of running backs, but my opinion on them is like terrified, is the general feeling that I have. So I'm
I
probably
will
right where you
say
are.
your comment from a couple weeks ago about how keeping two running backs forces like decision making and strategy from managers has stuck with me. So
Okay.
you have softened my stance. I still think I am pro one running back, but you have softened my stance on
Okay.
that. So
Good to know.
I can
All
be
right.
convinced.
All right, Brian. It's great to see you. I'm sure we'll be back next week. Maybe with Sloan. We'll see if he's free.
Would love that.
But it's good to see everybody. Hope you guys have a good week. Good to see you, Brian.
Yeah, good to see you too. See you guys.